But good morning. Glad you're here today, and welcome as we continue our series, The End Commandments. We're in the second part of this series. During his earthly ministry, Jesus announced a new covenant. It was unhitched from the Old Testament, and he initiated the new covenant when he died and he rose from the dead. Suddenly, the commandments that at times seemed extreme, especially for his followers, they were possible because of the power of the resurrection. He changed the world. The resurrection changed everything. And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to look at five different commands that Jesus gave, five things that seemed impossible, but with Christ they're possible. And today we want to look at fear and how we need to not fear, but instead allow God to work in our lives and to trust him. For Jesus told his disciples over and over again, do not fear. You really have nothing to fear. And they constantly were in situations where there was great fear. Does fear impact your life? Does it have an impact in your life? Does it cause you to kind of be stirred within you to say, you know what? I don't like what life is bringing me, and there's circumstances in my life that overwhelm me at times. There's a lot of things in our lives that are out of our control. There's a lot of things that we can fear, and it's not easy to work through the fears. It's not easy to overcome some of the panic that takes place within our spirit. We fear death. We fear being in a crisis. We fear the unknown. We fear an illness that we have no control over, and it doesn't seem like God's delivering us from. We fear being alone. There's a lot of fears that we have, lots of things that overwhelm us. And then you throw in a couple other fears that are just kind of irrational, like fear of a clown. You know, that would be one. There's a lot of different, you know, irrational kind of fears that come across, you know, right? You ever see the commercial recently where the lady walks into the elevator with the clown, right? You know, see those things. But there's a lot of things that work in our minds that are just irrational fears that when you're out there and you're kind of having to deal with life on your own, especially, you can get overwhelmed with things. We years ago, I was at the chapel in Akron doing cleaning, and I was a college student. And we'd have to clean and this took place actually when we were locking up. We'd also be responsible for locking up. If anybody's been at the chapel, it's a huge place. And when you had the duty to lock up, it was kind of a scary thing because everybody's left. There might have been thousands there for the evening service, but all of a sudden everybody leaves and you have to go through all the different parts of this whole church. And it was big. It was huge. And you had to lock up. Well, the worst part is you had to turn off the lights at the very downstairs in the basement, right? And, of course, I would have buddies that would like to try to scare you. And I'll never forget the time when I come all the way down there and somebody's hiding there as I'm turning off the lights. And they jumped on me and I was like, oh, my goodness. And you're just like in major, major fear. That was a legitimate one, right? The best scenario was when a friend was hiding up above one of the hallway, okay, corridor things. And he put himself up there so that when you walked by, all of a sudden, boom, he would fall down. And he was right behind you. And you're like, oh, my goodness. Some of you are just really feeling it right now. Like, I can't believe, you know. And, of course, college students, right, you're all about that. You don't care about how much fear it actually causes with anybody else. You deal with fear? Anybody here have fears? Like, right. There's one honest one, Maddie in the front row, okay? Anybody here have fears? We all have fears. Come on. Let's own it. We all have fears in our lives. We have these things in our lives that are overwhelming that we don't control. And we need to make sure that we grow in our relationship with God and God helps us move through that path where there's greater faith. And because there's greater faith, there's less fear. Jesus was about to send his disciples out. He was going to make sure that they had, you know, the right instructions, the right encouragement from the shepherd as he was sending them out. And you know the story, how he sent them out two by two, right? And there's all these things that are going on. And he says in Matthew 10, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on your guard. You'll be handed over to the local councils. So they're going to beat you, and they're going to, you know, cause, you know, you to have a lot of stress in your life. On my account, you'll be brought before the governors and kings and as witnesses and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, don't worry about what to say or how to say. I'm going to be there with you. Okay, I'll give you words. Brother will betray brother and to death. And a father, his child, children will rebel against their parents. You'll be hated by everyone because of me, Jesus says, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. How do you like that? Sending you out, love you. I know you love Jesus. You love me, right? I know, good. You know, I'm sending you out with a good word. And then, here's what's going to happen to you. I just want to give you a little heads up. How many would like to sign up for that one, right? Thanks, but no thanks. Jesus will let others go, right? And you begin to step backwards. Jesus says these words of encouragement to the disciples at that point. In verse 28, he says this. He says, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Fear, but don't fear. Fear nothing what man can bring, but fear the one who's in control of your destiny. Fear the one who's all God, almighty God, the one that is sovereign. Fear, respect the one who's in control of life. That's who you ought to fear and have reverence for. But don't fear what man can do. Don't fear when you're going through an illness, because the God Almighty, the Creator, knows what's best for you, and he's loving you right there in the midst of it. Don't fear when you're overwhelmed with the finances. Turn it over to a God that cares about what you're going through. Don't fear when you're struggling with your own identity and you don't think you have what it takes to do that job or to kind of live life in like a normal way. Don't fear, but allow God to be right there with you. He cares about what you're going through. You have nothing to fear. God says to us as sons and daughters, have great faith and know that I'm going to be right there with you. Today's lesson in a nutshell is you don't have to fear. Because even when there's something to fear, you don't have to fear, because Jesus is right there with you. You don't have to fear even when there's a legitimate fear, because I'm right there with you. And the end commandment today is fear not. The end commandment that Jesus challenged his disciples with was not to fear. And it was huge. It was impossible not to have fear. But when the resurrected one conquered death, and he's the one that rose from the dead, and if there's ever the great fear, it would be death and the unknown of what takes place there. When he conquered death and he rose from the dead, and they saw the wounds, and they saw that he conquered death, it changed everything. And there was resurrection power because of the resurrected one coming and showing them what life is all about. And it caused a group of disciples who were troubled, worried, concerned with so much, to be fully devoted followers who understood that the Savior was going to go before them. And if he could conquer death, he can conquer anything in their lives. And he took this group of really messed up disciples and he turned them into an army. Incredible how God can do that because of faith. Jesus instructed them to go out. He instructed them to be sent out. And as he's sending them out, there are some things that he knows to teach them concerning faith. And he has a couple lessons for them. And Jesus was really good about teaching. And he knew that if there was going to be something to be taught, especially when it came to faith, maybe a lesson in the boat would be a good thing. Any of you ever have situations where you've been out in a boat and you've been a little scared because all of a sudden the storm comes? If you've ever been on Lake Erie, I mean, I heard a story once by Big Don, right? Out on a boat, fishing boat, and it was a friend of his that was fishing, and they're all, you know, fishing together there, but he wasn't in charge of the boat. And the storm was coming, and those storms come very quick on Lake Erie, and you have to watch. You got to respect that lake, because it's a shallow lake. And they didn't respect it. And the guy that was in charge, he ended up, you know, saying, oh, no, we can get back to shore. No, they couldn't get back to shore. They ended up having to ditch it over by Cedar Point. They had to get out on this beach area and get out of the boat. It was overwhelming. They're in great fear because of the storm. Any of you deal with some of those things? Some of you are fishermen, you know that, okay? Some of you have been out there on those times and you have great fear and there's a sense of, you know, being overwhelmed with it. Ever been on a cruise, okay? Cruise, and you're good as long as it's nice sailing and there's not a whole lot going on. We're not rocking too much. Life is good and still it starts rocking a little bit and then it gets kind of crazy. Never good to be on a cruise trip when all of a sudden there's some violin players and there's this couple in the very front of the ship, you know, and they're just loving each other. Not a good situation to be there, okay? I'm just saying, okay, on a cruise ship. Anyway, so when it comes to teaching about faith, about the encouragement of faith, Jesus says, let's get out on a boat and let me teach you what really is important concerning faith. And we're told in Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 35, that the disciples followed Jesus and they got into this boat. We're told that that day when evening came, he said to the disciples, let us go over to the other side. And leaving the crowd behind, they took him just as he was in the boat, and there was also other boats with him. And a furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. And Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, teacher, don't you care if we drown? And he got up and rebuked the wind and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Isn't that a great story? They're on the boat. Storm comes up. Waters, you know, just rushing. The waves rushing right over the boat. This isn't good. This isn't good. And they're getting very fearful. They're starting to panic. And, of course, they look to their leader, Jesus, who's quietly, calmly in the back of the boat asleep. And he probably has one eye open. That's what I think. He has one eye open just watching the disciples see if they really have faith, right? Just like you would do with your kids growing up, you know, one eye open to see if they're falling asleep. And you're all good, right? But anyway, so Jesus said, and they look, and they're like upset with Jesus. They're like really upset that he's not, you know, fearful. He doesn't know what's going on. Like Jesus doesn't know what's going on with us. And we're overwhelmed with this. You ever feel that way in life? There's times where God is silent and he seems like he doesn't care. And that's what the disciples are feeling. But God's in control. He cares. And he's able to say to the wind, quiet, be still. The wind's died down. It's completely calm. He says to the disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? They were terrified and they asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. They didn't fear what was going on. They had great fear for what was going on with the storm. And then all of a sudden, there was starting to work in their spirit a fear of the Creator, the God of the universe, Jesus, who could calm the sea. And it was like, whoo. You ever have those moments? Whoo. I call them whoo moments, right? Where it's just like, that's a God thing. Like, there's no other explanation other than God did that. And so that was lesson in the boat 101. Next thing goes on. There's another lesson to help build their faith, right? And the next lesson is, hey, there's this miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. And Jesus shows them that he's in control, even when they're overwhelmed with how are they going to provide for all the people here. And Jesus says, you know, you're going to deal with this. You're going to give them food to eat. And they're overwhelmed with it all. And they're saying, I don't know how this is going to happen. How are we going to do this? And they want to go to Burger King really quick and bring home some, you know, lots of food from Burger King. And Jesus says, no, you're going to actually give them food. You're not going to Burger King. You're not going that way. You're going to deal with this. And he says to them, and all these people, thousands of people, right? He says to them, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take this bread. I want you to take the fish that I have given to you. Find out what's going on here. I'm going to pray over it. And then we're going to pass it out and see what goes on here. You give them something to eat. They said to him, that would take more than a half a year's wages. Are we going to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? How many loaves do you have? He asked. Go and see. And they gathered up. And they found out that they had 5 loaves, 2 fish, 5,000 people. Well, that's not a whole lot to go around. Just take a little bit. Take a little bit. No, Jesus, God doesn't do that. He's a God that provides abundantly. He's not just going to give us a little bit. He provides abundantly. And Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass, and they sat down, groups of hundreds, fifties, taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, and they're looking up to heaven. He gave thanks, and he broke the loaves. And he gave the disciples. There was something that took place there, okay? He broke the loaves, right? All of a sudden, here's this miracle. And he gave them to the disciples to distribute to the people. They divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of these men who had eaten was 5,000. That's a God thing. That's a miracle. It doesn't happen other than God doing it and it being the miracle that it is. And they were satisfied. Why? Because God is a God that provides abundantly. He says, I'll do exceeding abundantly beyond all that you could ask or think. He provides abundantly. He took care of that need that they had, and it was a huge need. And if he can take care of that need with all those people and the disciples, what need does he need to take care of in your life, and can he do it? Yes, because God is able. God says, I got it. Lesson number 2, right? And then guess what? They get to go back in the boat. Lesson number 3, right? But guess what? This time, it's a 401 kind of course. It's not 101. It's not freshman level. It's 401. This is senior level. This is a hard lesson that they're going to have to learn this time around. And here's what we're told. It's in Matthew. And here's the passage in Matthew where it talks about the encouragement to get in the boat again. It's found in Matthew chapter 14. If you have your Bibles, turn there as well with me. But if not, read up above here when you see lesson number 2. Because guess what? In this lesson, boat ride number 2, when you hear this one, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat to go on ahead of him to the other side. Do you see anything different there about how they got in the boat? What was different this time around than the first time around? Observations, okay? What did you see the first time around? Jesus says, let's get in the boat. Disciples followed him. What do you see this time around? He made them, right? Why? Why did he make them get in the boat? Because they still remember that last boat ride, and it wasn't too good. And they followed Jesus, and they went out to the sea, and it was pretty crazy out there. You think they want to get in the boat again? No way. So Jesus makes them get in the boat. Not only does he make them get in the boat, he pushes it off, right? He stays back. So he's not even going with them this time around. Imagine the fear in the disciples and what was going on there. They're thinking, this is crazy. And he says, after he dismissed them, he went on the mountainside by himself to pray. And later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they're terrified. It's a ghost, they said. And they cried out in much fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. There's nothing to fear. I'm right here. He's walking across towards them. Imagine all of what was taking place there and how they were probably overwhelmed with it all and feeling very frightened by it. And in the midst of it all, Jesus goes another level. And of course, he does this to Peter. And Peter's the one that's willing to get out of the boat, right? We're told that Peter answered and said to them, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And he began to sink. And he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and he caught him. And he said to him, O ye of little faith, why did you doubt? Come to me. And Peter, you know, you might have been one of the disciples that would be in the boat saying, let somebody else go out on the water, right? You might have been the one holding onto your life jacket and saying, let somebody else, anybody else. And of course, Peter, because he's the one that just kind of likes to do this a lot, he steps out right away. Yeah, I'm there, right? And you're like, yay for Peter. He's always doing these things. He's always taking the initiative. He always opens his mouth when he shouldn't. There's all great. Glad you're doing it, Peter. We're going to continue to applaud you. We'll continue to say, yay. And Peter's doing really well, and he's walking in faith and trusting. Takes his eyes off Jesus and looks at the storm. Gets very overwhelming, and he begins to sink. And Jesus says, oh, ye a little faith. In other words, fail. You had it going, fail. Because when there's not faith, there's a lot of fear. When there's not faith and trust, there's a whole lot of fear that we can deal with in life. And Jesus knows that he needs to coach up his disciples and to help them to become faithful followers. And he wanted to take them one more level, and this time it was embrace Jesus, walk in faith, get out of the boat, out of your comfort zone. Jesus took Peter and the disciples to a whole nother level when it came to their faith and developing their faith, so that when the resurrected one rose from the dead, those disciples were all in. They got it. They knew. And they all did. They knew what was on the line. They had great faith. Because this Jesus who was teaching them all these lessons in the boat, lessons through the miracles, is the one that conquered death. And if he can conquer death, he can conquer any of our fears. Are you all in? Are you believing? Are you trusting? Are you saying, God, thanks, yeah, you got it. This last week was a time of developing faith and just continuing to grow in my relationship with the Lord when it came to making a decision about a house down in Chippewa, and we're going from a house that was built in 99. We sold that. That's great. All new and everything, right? Had all those things. And to a house that's over 90 years old. And I looked under the foundation this week, and it kind of scared me. You know, it's crawl space, and it's, you know, an old house. And okay. And so after the inspection on Monday, man, my heart's going. I didn't sleep a whole lot. I'm wrestling. I'm trying. You know, I want to make a good decision. Bev's in. We're going to just keep praying about this. God, we prayed for you to open up the door. We prayed for you to find the right house. But I'm doubting. I'm questioning it. I don't like this. And then I just said to the Lord, I need a word from you. And the word from the Lord was this: what are you preaching on Sunday? Fear not. Doesn't get any easier than that, right? You know, I know you planned that a couple months ago. You didn't know that you were going to have that inspection then or even have that house then. Da, 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 da. But guess what? I did. And part of growing in your faith walk, Doug, is for you to trust me and allow me to work that in so that you can preach that, because it's all about a relationship with Jesus, right? And so that was really good. But I needed more. I needed more, so I took some time at yours truly, having some comfort food, having breakfast that day. I needed a little bit more comfort food. And as I had that time alone, I just opened up the scriptures and I said, give me some verses on fear. How about these for some verses for us to help us? Things that I wrote down, I put the date on it. I'm going to keep this little page right here with all those verses. John 14:27, peace I leave with you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. John 1:9, have I commanded? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Psalm 23:4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You're not alone. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Psalm 34:4. Psalm 94:19. When anxiety is great within us, may your consolation bring us joy. 1 Peter 5:6-7. Humble yourselves before God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety upon him, because he cares. He cares for you. Whew. Thank you, Lord. Those are a lot of promises. Thank you, Lord. I need that. And then I did one more thing. I prayed, turned it over to the Lord. God began to start giving me some peace. You know, that's what it says, right? When you cast your anxiety on him. but I'm wise too. And so I called my friend Hank, who has a place in Chippewa, and I said to Hank, help me, I'm scared. You know what he said? Doug, I have a house just like that. You'll be fine. Come down to my place and I'll show you what's under the crawl space. I'll help you with this. And that made all the difference in the world. Friends, where you're not alone, right? Friends helping you through your fears, just like God helps us through the fear. And I just had one thing after another, after another, after another, where God says, I got it. I'll take care of this. And you turn it over, and the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guards your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Thank you. I've been sleeping like a baby ever since. I even slept through the baby crying last night, right? Little granddaughter Grace. I slept like a baby, right? God is in control. He knows what he's doing. He cares about it. What's the fear in your life? What do you fear? What do you fear about just what you're going through? Maybe some relationship things where you're like, God, do you know what you're doing here? I'm fearful of being alone. I'm fearful of the finances and what's going on with the finances. I'm fearful of just a change in my life, and this is new. I don't like what's going on here. I don't like change, and none of us do change very well. And maybe you're fearful there in the midst of those times where you're just struggling and you're fearful and you're afraid. Take it to the Lord. Turn it over to him. Walk with him in faith. He's a God that builds great faith. He did that in the disciples. He changed those disciples from fearful followers to fully devoted followers. If he can do that in their life because of the resurrection, he can do it in your life. Take it to him. Trust him. Walk with him. Allow him to work in the midst of those fears. I get it. And we all have those fears. Guess what? In the midst of the storm, God says, I got it, and I'll calm the storm in your life. When you think that he can't provide and you're fearful of that, the God that provided the miracle of the 5,000 and a lot of other miracles, he can take care of your finances, whatever it is that you're dealing with, and that you think that he can't provide for. And if he can say to Peter, get out of the boat, get on, you know, and start walking on water, and he can reach out to him when he did, he can encourage us as faith followers to get out of the boat, walk on water, keep moving towards Jesus, and allowing him to be the one that helps us overcome our fears. He's growing you all up, sons and daughters, as men and women of great faith. Do not fear. Let's pray as we close. Lord, I thank you for the reminder from the scriptures and life about fear and how you're right there as a good shepherd with us. I thank you, Lord, that we have nothing to fear when we look to you. Thank you, Lord, for being in the boat, calm, fast asleep, but in control. And you took care of the storm, and you do that in our lives. Bless each person here, Lord. Help us not to fear. Help us to have faith and trust. And as we turn things over to you, Lord, I just pray that the fears would subside and that there would be a great sense of calmness in our spirit because, Lord, we're walking with you in the journey. Help us to be sons and daughters that trust in the Savior and that understand what faith is all about. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.